Apparently, we splurged in January. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Consumers, all told, spent $650 billion buying stuff in January. That is a jump of 3.8%. Retail sales haven't moved that much in a month in almost a year. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors and joins us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So this was a big turnaround from December, which with the revised numbers saw retail sales fall 2.5%. What do you think is behind this?
Well, this really shows the health of the American consumer, and people are still out shopping. They're out buying cars, they're out buying furniture, and we're seeing that in the price increase here. Retail sales advanced month over month, 3.8%. Expectations were for only 2%.
Do you think this kind of growth is sustainable?
This growth probably isn't sustainable, but we're going to see a shift. Consumers still want to spend. So while retail sales are expected to be strong, they're also largely expected to taper by the market, as there is expected to be a shift from that bricks and mortar shopping, those tangible goods buying, over to services, those holidays that people haven't been able to take, that outdoor experience, that concert that they haven't been able to go to. Now the market is expecting a shift into those types of purchases.
Does this mean anything to the Federal Reserve and its fight against inflation if people are still out there spending a whole bunch?
The Fed is going to look at this because that spend means that prices are going up. We're still trying to sort out the kinks in the supply lines. Inventories are coming back, but they're not 100% stocked. With this strong retail sales number, it's going to give extra ammunition to the Fed and confidence in their moving forward with an increase in interest rates.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Moderna's CEO, Stéphane Bancel, told CNBC that it was reasonable to assume we are approaching the final stages of the pandemic. He said there was an 80% chance we're going to see less and less virulent viruses, although there's also a 20% chance, he said, we might see a more virulent mutation. Moderna stock is down 2.73% in early trading.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
No democracy, no money. That is the threat the EU has made to member countries it sees as trampling democratic values. It has threatened to withhold funds from governments over things like independence of courts and freedom of the press. Hungary and Poland sued and took the case to Europe's highest court, which today sided with the EU. The European Court of Justice said the EU is entitled to protect democratic values using the power of the purse, and at stake potentially are billions of dollars earmarked for Poland and Hungary through the bloc's pandemic recovery fund. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is in London with more. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning, Sabri.
So first of all, can you just set this up for us? Why is the EU targeting Poland and Hungary in the first place here?
Well, I guess what's important to understand first off is that both Hungary and Poland are governed by nationalist governments, and they've actually been investigated for undermining the independence of courts and media and non-governmental organizations. And they've challenged the EU's approach to important issues that have become very controversial across Europe, including immigration and LGBT rights.
So if then courts have said the EU can reduce funding for states that it sees as flouting democratic values, Does that mean that Poland and Hungary are just not going to get any of the EU's recovery funding?
Well, it's not quite that cut and dry. So what this ruling has done is make complying with rule of law a condition of EU membership. And the court ruled that when countries join the bloc, they sign up to its so-called common values. And it said the EU should be able to defend those values. So if countries are found to be in violation, funding they receive from the bloc can be withdrawn.
So we'll see if they in fact withdraw that funding.
Exactly. So the EU's $2.3 trillion budget covers a 7-year period. And that's what sort of makes it so difficult to get everybody on board with. And the latest one includes more than $900 billion dedicated to the coronavirus recovery efforts. And this dispute between Poland and Hungary and the EU all came about because Hungary and Poland challenged what's called a conditionality mechanism that actually went into place about a year ago. And that's what tied rule of law compliance to this funding disbursement. And they said that it violated their rights under EU treaties and said that the so-called conditionality mechanism had no legal basis. The court, of course, today did not agree with Hungary and Poland's assessment.
How have Hungary and Poland responded to this ruling?
Well, Poland has called the decision an attack on its sovereignty. Hungary's justice minister accused Brussels of, quote, abusing its power. As you might expect, though, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has welcomed the ruling today. She said the commission will issue guidelines about how to apply that conditionality mechanism for funding disbursement.
Previously, Hungary's prime minister has said that this very issue could lead to his country pursuing, you know, like a Brexit style split from the EU. How real is that possibility?
This kind of friction, as we've been talking about, Sabri, isn't new. I guess what all this boils down to is while a ruling like this may raise tensions and heighten rhetoric, what we've been hearing is that a split from the EU is not likely to be on the horizon.
All right. The BBC's Victoria Craig, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sabri.
A lot can happen in a day when it comes to the economy and all of its moving parts, from workplace culture to markets. And we've got you covered here on The Morning Report and in the evening. You can check out Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal on public radio, podcast, or at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.